I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. For the second time in a month, a major hurricane is lashing the southeastern U.S. Hurricane Michael hit the Florida panhandle this afternoon, packing winds over 150 miles an hour. Experts say Michael could end up being the worst storm on record in the region. If this frightening situation sounds familiar, it is.
We begin this hour continuing to track Hurricane Florence as it gets closer to making landfall in the eastern United States.
Hawaii dodged a direct hit by Hurricane Lane, which became Tropical Storm Lane over the weekend.
Tropical Storm Olivia. Yep, there's another storm. It's weakening, though, in the Pacific.
Off the Pacific coast of Mexico, Hurricane Sergio is threatening the southwestern U.S. with heavy rain this week. It's already sending powerful waves crashing on the Southern California coast.
All those storms, they all hit the U.S. in just the last few weeks. There's no evidence, of course, that we're getting more tropical storms as the world's climate warms up. But there is strong evidence that these storms are getting stronger as sea levels rise and oceans warm. That was part of the message delivered by a U.N. climate panel this week. Their report made it clear that climate change is here and will only get much worse if we don't move much more quickly to deal with it. The report was drawn up by many of the world's top scientists for an organization that won the Nobel Peace Prize. But when asked about the report, President Trump seemed skeptical of its merit.
It was given to me. It was given to me. And I want to look at who drew it, you know, which group drew it, because I can give you reports that are fabulous and I can give you reports that aren't so good. But I will be looking at it, absolutely.
Trump has dismissed climate change as a hoax and has reversed major policies to tackle the crisis. But the U.S. military takes climate change a lot more seriously. They see it as a threat to national security, and Hurricane Michael is an example of that threat. As the storm barreled toward Florida, military bases in the region were evacuated. Jets from Tyndall Air Force Base flew to Ohio to wait out the storm, and thousands of other Air Force and Navy personnel at nearby bases were told to stay home today. It's all just one example of how vulnerable many U.S. military installations are to extreme weather. The World's Carolyn Beeler joins me now. And Carolyn, we've got this big hurricane system in the Gulf of Mexico where there are a lot of military bases. But the U.S. has bases all over the world, so how will they all cope with the future impacts of climate change?
This is a bit of an open question, Marco. There are a lot of military installations clustered on the coast around the world. And as sea levels rise, which makes storm surges worse, and as hurricanes are expected to grow increasingly intense, these military installations are at risk. There are some 1,700 military bases in coastal areas all over the world, from Florida, which is being battered right now, to the Marshall Islands even. And just to put a dollar figure on it, the Navy alone, just that one branch of the military, figures it has about $100 billion worth of assets at places that could be damaged with a meter of sea level rise, which could come in the next few decades.
So with the Navy, obviously, the ships are mostly going to be fine if sea levels rise. What are the main concerns?
Right. The ships are built to be in the water, so they're going to be fine. The main concern is the physical infrastructure on these bases and actually getting workers, naval members and civilians who work at these bases from inland in the face of increasing flooding on roads. A couple of years ago, I visited the Norfolk Naval Base in Virginia to talk to the Navy's head engineer in that region, Pat Rios, and this is what he told me.
I can make this base impervious to sea level rise. I'm an engineer, and I believe that all things are doable. But this base is not an island.
This base is not an island, meaning people have to get to it from somewhere. Mm. And already in Norfolk, there are days when the main road going into the base floods and people can't get to work, which means they can't resupply ships that are docked there. So this is already seen as a military readiness issue.
The military has long been considered one of the most proactive parts of the federal government when it comes to planning for climate change. I mean, the Pentagon very clearly a number of years ago called climate change a threat multiplier. Is that still the case? Are they still proactive?
I would say yes and no. So when I was standing on a pier with Pat Rios at Norfolk Naval Base, he said, you know, it's not my job to ask why the sea levels are rising right now. It's my job to know what the projections are and plan for them. So this is sort of still the attitude of the military. So even today, Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis has said that climate change is a national security issue and we do need to plan for it.
Yeah, I mean, planning suggests the military has really different attitudes from the White House on climate change. What does that actually mean, though, on the ground?
So there are directives being given and instructions being given to the military and the Pentagon to plan for climate change. So, for example, the Navy right now is required to plan for sea level rise in all of its forward planning. And Congress recently directed the Pentagon to identify the top 10 sites threatened by climate change. But these directives and this planning doesn't always translate to action or money allocated in terms of preparations for climate change. Today, I talked to David Titley, who's a retired Rear Admiral who actually headed the U.S. Navy's Task Force on Climate Change for a while. And this is what he told me about the military's preparations.
Since I'm now at Penn State and I have to assign grades to the students, I would give the military a C- for its preparations. They have done some initial work. They have put out some overarching documents that say what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, funding these type of infrastructure improvements is very, very hard.
Titley did point out one tidbit of forward momentum on the funding aspect here, which is that Congress authorized military spending to prepare for climate change in outside of the fence application. So if we go back to Naval Station Norfolk, the problems with people getting to work on that naval station have to do not with the military site, but with infrastructure outside of the military base. So there's been some funding authorized for helping military readiness when it occurs off of military bases. So I think this is an example of how what's happening with Congress regarding climate change, specifically on military readiness, is a little bit different than the rhetoric that's coming out of the White House.
Well, for the good people along the Gulf Coast, we wish them an A-plus for dealing with the effects of Michael. The World's Carolyn Beeler, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Marco.